We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. This is Brandon Peoples, and I'm talking with Dennis Butler, Riley County Police Department Director, on the show here today. We do this every month, the last Friday of the month. Hard to believe it's going to be May next week, if you can believe that already. But we've discussed a little bit on the law board's recommendation here this week of coming back with a zero increase in the budget for the Riley County Police Department. And it's causing, you know, all kinds of, you know, creative measures here to be that will be taken by the police department in the future. There's a lot of things that this COVID-19 pandemic is impacting. And I know that some of that is crime. You did mention that crime has been down, at least here in the month of April. You alluded to that a little bit earlier, Director Butler.
Yeah, I pulled some crime stats for April 1st through the 15th. And part one crime, which is really the barometer of what's going on in the community, has eight categories of the most serious crime, like aggravated assault, rape, robbery, homicide, burglary, things like that. And for the first 2 weeks of the month, compared to the five-year trend, we're down 51%. And in that same period, domestic assault and batteries are down 9%. Calls for service are down 29%, and accidents, this one really, really surprised me, are down 66%. So I attribute most of that to the stay-at-home order because our population is lower. I don't want to make a connection here that it's because K-State students aren't here, but when you have a lower population, you know, the people that serve them, they're not providing those services, they're not at work, they're at home. Overall, crime is way down, even more so in April than it was in March. So it's a little bit of a surprise on the DV front because I read so much about other communities that are having a real spike there. Ours are down 9%. That doesn't mean batteries aren't happening. All crime is underreported, but I was a little surprised to see that not be higher.
Yeah, we were talking before the program. I have seen the cases that are coming across on the daily police report. I do see more domestic batteries popping up, even though there's less crime. I do see more of those, and that was interesting to me. But it seems like this would be a good opportunity to, you know, communicate to those that if they do have an issue or they're stuck at home in a dangerous situation, don't be afraid to call.
No, I mean, we're still going to respond to those types of calls. We're going to take what precautions we need to protect our officers from any viral infection. But if anybody has an emergency or their safety is being threatened or they've been hurt, they need to call 911 as always, and we're responding. So that has not changed at all. We've changed some other response protocols, but not that.
And, you know, speaking of 911, I know there's the text to 911 option, and how well is that service being utilized?
You know, I don't know. I haven't checked on that. I haven't heard any reports that we've seen a dramatic increase or decline. It's gotten off to a slow start. I do know that. That's an interesting question, so I'll try to find that out for the next time we talk.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a great option right now, especially if anyone's in a real bad situation, to know that that is available.
Yes, I agree.
And let's talk about your dispatchers there. Boy, that's a tough gig that they have, and even more so now with less people working everywhere and remotely. They still have to come in and do a pretty essential job.
They do. Just like our detective unit, we've broken them up into teams. We don't allow any unnecessary visits into the communications center to lower the risk of infection for them. But, you know, because the demand for service is a little bit lower right now, we have new dispatchers in training. I imagine the training is a little easier in some respects. However, not having the volume of calls, they're not getting as much experience as they otherwise would. But our commitment to staffing that unit has not lessened at all. I've asked the law board, and I've talked to the city manager and chairman of the county commission to please not expect me to make broad consistent non-hiring decisions. Let me do it on a case-by-case basis to try to keep costs down. But I told them both that the communication center, which serves all first responders in the county, that commitment to continue filling vacancies and training has not changed. We're going to continue doing that. And we are making some progress. At the beginning of the year, we had 6 or 7 vacant positions. We're down to 3 or 4. That doesn't mean that we're going to hold those gains, but we're moving in the right direction, and it is critically important we right the ship in terms of turnover there. And I think if we stop hiring people, we're going to set ourselves back to a position where I don't think it's necessary to do that right now, and we're going to keep moving forward.
You know, and one thing that in the police department you have to do a lot of is training. You mentioned the training aspect of the dispatch center. As I understand, your academy is not open either.
Yeah, the State Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center initially closed for, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks when they first sent out the notice. I had 2 officers that were within 3 weeks of graduation and 2 more that were scheduled to go the Monday after the announcement. So all 4 of them are here and not being trained at the academy. That is creating some challenges for us in terms of getting them ready to deploy by themselves. It depends on how long this goes on right now. They were supposed to be closed till the end of May 31st specifically. So the longer that goes on, the more drastic measures I'm going to have to take in terms of if I have positions I have to fill, I may just do a hiring process where only certified officers can apply because I don't have to send them to the academy. I hate to restrict our hiring that way, but we have got to figure out a way for the academy to reopen and get our folks trained. We're not at a critical point now, but I can't assume that I won't have an officer resign or retire for whatever reason. And if I can't get people trained to fill those positions in the long term, it's going to start creating some real challenges. So we're doing some creative things now with those officers that did not complete training here. We took some of the academy curriculum with their permission, so we're doing the training ourselves. We can't do it all. We can't do it the way they would do it, but we can do it in a manner that meets standards. But the final certification still has to come from the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center. So we're just trying to get them as far along as we can so they can excel and finish.
Well, that seems like maybe we've spotted a weakness here in state government. Is there a possibility that training with the police academy could be done, virtually as some way at home?
Well, that's a question for them. I want you to know I did communicate with the director and made that suggestion. I haven't been given a specific reason as to why that hasn't happened. But in-service training is different. They are offering some of that virtually, but basic training, which is what new officers go through, has not. I do know that other states, it's spotty. It's not consistent. Continued operating their academies using social distancing guidelines and procedures, and they're continuing on. For whatever reason, again, I don't know the reasons that hasn't happened here, but I would imagine that because of what's happened here, when they emerge from this, they're going to have those procedures either developed or in place. So if this happens again, well, we can continue offering training, basic training to new officers.
Yeah, I imagine this is an issue that's not just happening with RCPD. This is probably a statewide issue, and the training. Forgive me. I'm not sure how long the training takes, but it's several months.
It's 14 weeks of training, so it's almost 3 months. There are some police departments in the state, like all of Johnson County. They run their own regional academy at the Johnson County Community College. So I don't know if they're closed now or not, but I know Topeka is still running their training academy. Wichita is still running theirs. Lawrence, I believe, is still running theirs. They've been operating their own training for many years. Other smaller departments or those that don't have the resources to operate their own academy rely on the state academy. So not all training has stopped, and I have had conversations with some of those departments that are continuing in their own academy training about the possibility of our officers joining their training curriculum. But we haven't gone completely down that road yet. It hasn't been ruled out, but it's a possibility.
I'm just thinking out loud here, is there a possibility if staffing became a concern that you could work with area police departments like Wamego, Junction City to fill staffing needs on a temporary basis?
So in what way? You mean through mutual aid? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that or I'm not really sure exactly. Just to fill, if you ended up getting into a dire situation where you had to have an officer fill a position.
I'm still not sure what your question is, but if you're talking about a regional training academy, kind of like what Johnson County does for all of their departments, I mean, that's always a possibility. To stand something up that fast here and meet state standards is not an overnight process. So I haven't thought about doing that. We'll see, but it would take a long time to have the University of Kansas, which oversees the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center, sign off on doing something like that. It's not an easy proposition.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Very good. I'll tell you what, let's take a time out. We'll come back more with Director Dennis Butler from the Raleigh County Police Department on In Focus after this.